Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We got a reminder of value in a very different way yesterday. Value through absence and creating that void using sports. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Gwumike. And Janae, when we came here yesterday getting ready to do this show, we were talking about the possibility of the Raptors, the Celtics, maybe not playing in their first, you know, playoff game in the second round. And then everything else happened with the Milwaukee Bucks announcing that they weren't going to take the court, refusing to take the court. And the domino effect that followed since then has changed sports here in the immediacy. It was a day that, outside of the shutdown this spring when the pandemic was first becoming a thing, I can't remember anything like it.
Yeah, I think the difference here is that this was completely intentional by the players. You know, before it was coronavirus, the pandemic, a positive test that shut down the NBA, that shut down college basketball, that shut down everything. And then now this was an intentional shutdown in the sense that no games are happening because we are traumatized from an experience that most people probably cannot relate to, but we hope people start trying. So
yeah,
it was a day on our show yesterday.
It was a day on our show. It was a day in the breaks for you and the members of the WNBA executive committee that were furiously trying to work through everything that was going on, this conversation, because it was a response for a lot of people. After they saw what the Bucks did, it was the ripple effect through the NBA. We saw the WNBA players later that night out in front of the media all together on the court, and just seeing the very human reactions of all this. Our own Mark Spears, senior writer for The Undefeated, talked about the mood that he saw inside the bubble yesterday, one that really struck him.
Yesterday was the first time I felt like I saw despair, especially in like a guy like Pascal Siakam's eyes. He's usually pretty upbeat, and he just looks like defeated. A lot of these guys look defeated, confused, hurt. I think it boiled over yesterday. How does that change? I don't know if society will allow them to feel any better anytime soon, but I hope they do realize that in here there is a voice that us as a media allows them to have, but ultimately it's how they feel. This isn't an easy place to be, and perhaps they feel like it's time to go, but I know that in this place, for the majority of the players, not the stars, but the majority of the players, their voices are loudest heard in the bubble.
And, Chinee, this becomes the interesting part of this, because the NBA players have talked about, and this has been disputed since going back before the bubble even started, when Kyrie Irving and others voiced their concern of going here. Would it take away and detract from the work they thought they were doing in the wake of George Floyd's killing? And so now we're at a point where it looks like, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA is likely to continue their playoffs. It looks like it could be sometime around Saturday that maybe that starts back up. But I'm curious, from your perspective, looking at the way other leagues have responded now, we talked to Jeff Passan about Major League Baseball and their response. The NHL drew a lot of backlash yesterday and has now postponed their playoff games tonight. And we know the NFL, it's been different reactions based on different teams. Have you had time to even look out at the rest of the sports world and kind of gauge the response you've seen to the work that you all have done?
You want me to be honest?
Be honest.
No.
I figured as much.
I had to leave our pre-show meeting early because we're trying to make sure everything is right in the wubble. But I always am looking to educate myself and learn. So as much as I am, you know, one-track minded on doing my job here today for ESPN, doing my job as a member, vice president of the executive committee of the WNBPA, I also know that I am constantly a person that wants to educate myself, just because I've learned that that is the way for me to create opportunity for myself. So that's the thing that I'm hoping other leagues have. You know, there's understanding in the NBA, there's understanding in the WNBA, largely because the demographics of our league force that understanding. You are there with a majority of Black women, Brown women, and just women, period, in my experience. And even in the NBA, we're talking about how more international the league is getting. It's a melting pot, but it's not always that same situation. We understand that we are our brands, and our brands are put front and center, especially through basketball, because you see our faces, there's less number of players and all those types of things. And so when I look to other sports leagues, I think they will get there, but the speed at which you get there sort of disappoints me. just because we have this insulated environment where I always tell people sports is beautiful because it's a meritocracy. You go in there and you create, you know, positivity for yourself and value for yourself based on what you bring to the table every day. And that's what we want to see in society. And everyone experiences that no matter what sports league you're in, but it's the rest of the things, the relatability. So when these situations are happening in real time, you're not isolating yourself, excluding yourself. You're becoming an active person that wants to educate themselves on the matter. And I think that's exactly what Jeff was alluding to.
Chinay and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. And I think you could hear some of Jeff's frustration with this idea that it wasn't coordinated. There didn't seem to be intention behind it. And I think the more I think about it, because the NHL drew a lot of criticism for still playing the games, but really I think more of the issue was a lack of intention, because what we're seeing in the NFL, a league where Colin Kaepernick, we know, made a very prominent stand and other players have followed in a lot of ways, what we've seen with the NFL is there have been some teams that decided this is too much and we would like to not go on the field and participate. We know the Detroit Lions did it the other day, but the New York Jets, the Green Bay Packers, the Indianapolis Colts, the Titans, Broncos, Cardinals, Chargers, and Washington football team all chose to not practice. There are a number of others who chose to practice, but they did so with intention. This idea that we met, we had discussions, some have shortened practice in order to do that. The Baltimore Ravens went out and practiced, but what did so with the understanding that this is something we are going to find a way to address, come together, and have a discussion on later on. And I think ultimately looking at that, I find it hard to judge someone's position on this, whether or not to play or not in this, as long as it's done with intention and understanding, because everyone comes at this from different situations. There are players that can't afford to miss that practice time, can't afford to miss that game time because of what it means to their livelihood, who may not be as well off or as well entrenched as others. But if it's done with that group intention where people are taking the time to have those conversations and say, this is something that matters to us, we want to find a way to address it even while we go about our business, I think that's the most justifiable version of the way this goes forward.
Exactly. There should be no judgment, period. And so when teams choose to play or practice, that is their own prerogative. And I've learned through the process in which we negotiated this return to play that it is all on the individual, because what we're deciding on is a summation of our own individual experiences. You can't go in and say your experience is invalid. Your experience is invalid. It's not. Everyone's dealing with their own. Like, mental health is coming to the forefront just as much as, you know, the issues that are coming from the earth now through Jacob Blake, another name, right? So there's so many things that are impacting different people different ways in real time. And I think the teams that have chosen to practice, I actually applaud them as well, because that means they hopefully accomplished a necessary conversation that put everyone in a comfort zone to be able to do so.
Exactly. It is that comfort level that I think every group's got to achieve on their own, but it's got to be done together. There's got to be some collective decision. I think Jeff describing that in Major League Baseball, that he didn't feel like there was any sort of collective conversation, was where the trouble started for him.
But it all comes down to trust, because yes, when you look at all these leagues, I keep going back to this, but this is my experience with the CBA. It started with trusting in our commissioner, Kathy Engelbert, who was a woman, a trailblazer that transitioned from Deloitte to now to the WNBA, and she's overqualified. She's doing great things for us, but we trusted in her and she returned that trust and helped us with that agreement. When you look at the relationships between commissioners and the players, you need to have that established trust in order to establish solidarity and have a united message. And I think you can see it. It's reflected when anytime there's an issue when it comes contractually, or like there's certain leagues that have certain problems because the trust is not there. And we just earned our trust, and it's 2020 in January. And I don't know where we'd be if we didn't have that experience in January bringing that CBA to the forefront. So I guess that's what I'm highlighting. In these moments, different leagues will respond differently, because trust is the number one thing you have to have. And that's what we learn in sports. You have to go in there blindly and hoping that you'll win and that your teammate has your back. And it's not just when you're on the field competing, on the court competing, in the pool competing, wherever you are competing. It's also the people that put you in position to be there as well.
Exactly. And that trust is earned over a long period of time and through a lot of the actions and interactions. It's what makes what happens with the NBA's Board of Governors meeting that was going on today so interesting. What will they be prompted to do in all of this? The NFL and their owners, who are going to hear more from their players, and that relationship traditionally has been more antagonistic between those two sides. How is that going to operate and progress through all of this. Questions that will be answered as we go along here, but certainly are going to be difficult to come by. It's been a transformative 24 hours, less than that, even at this point. And remember, it all started inside the NBA bubble. We're going to check in with our best and brightest, one of our great insiders inside the bubble, next here on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
That effect has been felt in a lot of ways, and Chenea, one of the most interesting ones to me is that the typical response that we kind of get around here of people angrily saying, well, I remember when ESPN talked about sports. It's like, what sports would you like us to talk about from the last 24 hours? Like, all the ones that didn't happen because of the very pointed statement that athletes were trying to make? I'm a little confused here.
I feel like the simplest things, why are they the hardest to understand? I don't get it.
I don't understand it either. It's Chenea Igbumike, Mike Golic Jr. here. It's Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. And we are delighted to be joined in a couple of minutes here by Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider, who's been a part of some incredible reporting. Him, Malika Andrews, everyone inside the bubble who's been around what has to be, and I'm curious for this perspective, some of the more chaotic 24-hour periods of their life as reporters, as people that are so ingrained in these circles and the events that go on that most of us never see, never hear from in all of this, what that experience has been like. And we are joined now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line by our senior ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, I know it has to have been a whirlwind last 24 hours. Where are we at currently inside the NBA bubble with the plans to move forward, as you reported before, with the NBA postseason?
Hey, guys. It's been a pretty remarkable 24, 48 hours here across the country, really. And right now, the plan moving forward is seems very likely that the playoff games will return on Saturday. There's a call this afternoon that I believe is ongoing right now, where players are finalizing in the league over a Saturday return to the postseason. And then there's an owner's call later, a little bit later in this afternoon, with players and owners, you know, talking about how they'll go forward together, I think, in the bubble and then beyond.
Woj, I know the way you work, you don't sleep already. So at this rate, I'm assuming you haven't blinked like once in the last 48 hours.
You know how I work? I've got a big TV in my room here, and I have you guys on.
Oh, well, that's
nice. How I work.
There we go.
We appreciate you. Woj, you know, over the last, as you mentioned, 24 to 48, we were following all of your tweets, and we were also following that players meeting that you outlined at 8 p.m. yesterday, in which it was extremely emotional, so much so that the LA teams walked out. There was an idea that they weren't going to play, and then something shifted. Can you take us behind the scenes to that shift?
Yeah, I think it was emotional last night, and, you know, I think that it took until overnight into the morning, more discussion within, I think, both LA teams, but within the Lakers, and about, you know, essentially getting on board and continuing on here. There was a pretty good consensus through the rest of the league that guys wanted to play and they wanted to finish. Many have their families coming in here, family, friends coming in who are in quarantine, who are coming out now for the start of the second round of the playoffs. And I think one of the questions that was asked a lot in the meeting among players, and it was asked outside of the meetings, within teams and organizations, if we stop playing now, if we go home, if we end this season, never mind the financial impact, the possibility that of the owners terminating the CBA and essentially having a lockout, and who knows when NBA basketball returns, can we make the kind of impact and change that we want to on these issues of social injustice outside as well as we can inside? That was a consideration. I don't know that it was the final consideration for everybody. I think everybody measures all of these things in different ways. There's no one thing, I think, that pulls anybody to a decision. There's the competitive aspect. There's the financial aspect. There's aspect. And there's a sense of righteousness, of doing what guys believe is the proper path to do something and impact a world beyond this bubble and beyond the NBA. And so I think Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, who are, you know, the top officers in the Players Association, I think they played a significant role in kind of shepherding this with their team, with their peers around the league. I think there was good leadership throughout. And ultimately, I think they were able to lean on the relationship and a level of trust that's there between the league and the PA that may not exist, that certainly doesn't exist necessarily in baseball, the NFL. And I think in these moments that are very trying, I think that's something that does, I think, keep the NBA on course at times where other leagues you've seen maybe get mired in more acrimony between the two sides.
ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski with us here on Chené and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chené Igwumike on ESPN Radio. Woj, you mentioned that ongoing meeting between players and the Board of Governors, the owners right now. I'm curious, as you've been around the bubble and been privy to some of these conversations, is there any expectation of what the players are looking at from the governors, from the NBA's Board of Governors, as far as more involvement from that group in all of this?
Yeah, I think it's been an ongoing dialogue between them, going all the way back to when the idea of the bubble was first proposed. And they talked about coming down here amid the George Floyd killing and amid the unrest that existed in the country and how players wanted to be participants in that movement and wanted to be impactful in it. And there were a number of initiatives that were set into place. And I think what you're seeing as we get closer to November 3rd, I think you're seeing a greater focus. Chené obviously can speak to this. She's been a big part of it with the WNBA, the NBA, and around voter rights, voter suppression. And I think you've seen, again, as we get closer to November, you know, the impact, you know, just today, the Houston Rockets opening up their facility in Chené's hometown around the presidential election. And I think you're seeing more and more teams involved and players players pushing for the league's help and owners' help in that area. And you see a number of teams who are doing this. That I think you'll probably see more of that between now and November 3rd.
You can follow him on Twitter at WojESPN. Obviously, all of the breaking news that is
what
to come from
about?
The
Everyone
NBA.
Follows him on Twitter. Why are you plugging his Twitter? Woj.
You know, give him a little more pub on this one. Give him the Chené and Golic Jr. bump on the Twitter account. Woj, we appreciate
it. He needs to give
time,
us
man.
A bump. Yeah. Woj, give us a bump here, okay?
All right, I'm on it.
Thanks, Woj.
Thanks, Woj.
Adrian Wojnarowski giving us the bump on this one. He said he's already got us on the TV, so I feel like that's a big step.
Look, I think he follows us both. We're winning already, okay?
Absolutely. Winning already right now. It has been impressive, but coming up next, as impressive and certainly even more, the WNBA making some strong statements over the last 24 hours, and that includes their commissioner, Kathy Engelbert. We'll hear more from Inside the Wubble next. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
One, two, three. Do you know how to do the wubble? Two. One, two, three.
Get I didn't know there were there. Like step counts to it. I just
there is one, two, three. Shit. One, two, three, shit. Do you know how to wobble?
Oh, I know how to wobble. Listen, I usually do it after a few cocktails on a wedding dance floor, though.
There, like, you go.
It's a dangerous spot to put me because all of a sudden you get a couple of drinks in me at a wedding and I really think I can dance when this song comes on.
My goal is to now go to a wedding with you.
Oh, see, there we go. We would be. I feel like collectively, Chiné Angola Jr. would be an absolute
hit
at a
wedding. We would tear up the dance floor, but I think collectively our parents would want us to be the participants of the wedding.
That is true.
So and maybe we should like prioritize some things. Right?
We got to probably do that for their sake. You know what?
Because just for them.
That's what we do. We care about our parents. It's exactly. a family-oriented show.
It is. It
and we're
is.
Trying to do right by them. Exactly. It is Chiné Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2 and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agwumike. Available for hire, by the way, if you're looking for people to jumpstart the party at your wedding.
I thought you were saying for like husbands and wives.
Oh, no. we're not mail order brides and grooms yet. We haven't gotten that.
We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there yet. But where we have gotten, there is no clever segue back to all the heavy stuff that is going on in sports right now as Chiné gently sips her tea and all this, just trying to stay awake after the last 20 hours.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Caffeine only.
Exactly. So I'll give you a caffeine break. Right now,
because I was gonna do something. You don't have to be lonely. It's caffeine only right now. I'm sorry. We're all tangents.
The Farmers Only remix by Caffeine, courtesy of Chiné Agwumike. Chiné, you know what we love about this show?
What?
Surprising you with stuff that you don't know is coming. So here and welcoming our next guest in now on Chiné Angola Jr., we are delighted to be joined by WNBA legend and friend mentor of our very own,
Chiné
Agwumike. Lisa Leslie joining us now on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing great. Surprise.
Oh, my goodness. Why?
Well, you know,
why?
I had to, listen, you know I had to surprise you, but you were like, Lisa, are you watching? I'm paying attention. I told you I'm watching your show. I love it. I look forward to meeting you also, Mr. Golic. But I've been over here snapping my fingers and listening to you guys. Congratulations, sis. I'm so proud of you. You know, we talked about all these dreams and these desires and setting our goals, and here you are making it happen as the first beautiful Black woman to have a radio show. So we are so proud of you, and I just wanted to make sure you knew that publicly as much as I tell you privately.
Lisa, what are y'all doing to me? Oh, my goodness. You guys don't understand. This woman right here, like, she has helped me so much, so much. When I got injured, right knee microfracture, left Achilles, she was there. She was there for me. My family was there. My friends were there. My agent, Allison Gaylor, was there. Like, everyone was there. But Lisa was the one was like, Chiné, you can do this. You can keep pushing. This is my, I don't say role model. She is my goal model. She is everything. She's the first person that I saw. And I was like, I want to be like her, both fierce, both feminine. I'm literally sweating bullets right now because I'm like, I am so overwhelmed with, like, happiness and warmth. Lisa, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh.
Lisa Leslie.
Girl, well, so much is going on in the world. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Golic.
No, sorry.
Junior, I should call you Junior.
Junior, we call him Junior.
Lisa, you can call me whatever you'd like. You are a legend, and we are honored to have you here talking with us on Chiné Angola Jr. But, Lisa, you just mentioned it. A lot going on in the world right now. And for you, watching Chiné, watching her sisters in the W go to work the way they have in the last 24 hours, what's that been like for you?
Well, you know, I'm thankful that I have an opportunity. I spoke with Mika yesterday privately, of course, just about, you know, steps that they're taking and moves that they have to make. You know, it's a tough situation for all of us. I feel like as athletes for the NBA, who I'm so proud of those players, starting with Giannis Antetokounmpo and just the whole NBA getting together and being united. I'm so proud of the WNBA players for using their platform and being united and what they're doing to bring awareness. But I also, you know, my advice is that not to stop playing, to keep playing, because they're them together and having that unity gives a platform, and they're giving voices to people who are not being heard. And so I'm just really proud to be, you know, an athlete. I'm proud to be a sister of the WNBA, a sister of the NBA. And, you know, we're just getting sick and tired. And so I use my voice, I use my platform as much as I can. Also, just to say, you know, we are talking about a human problem. We're not talking about a sports problem. This is not a Black problem. This is a human problem. And we all collectively have to find resolutions. You know, a friend of mine asked me today, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, this is just so sad, isn't it? How are you doing? And I'm like, how are you doing? Because this is just so sad for you, too. Just because you're not black doesn't mean it shouldn't be affecting you. You should have had a sleepless night last night, just like I did, because it's a human problem. And that's where we have to start to move the needle with letting everybody understand that this is not a black problem. This is not a Black Lives Matter problem just for us. This is a human problem, and we need everybody's voice to be a part of helping make this change.
Here with, I can't believe I'm doing this whole, got a shadow, here with Lisa Leslie, my true big, big sister on Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN2 and SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Radio. I'm getting choked up in my throat. But Lisa, you just have been such a role model, and I think people can see now why. Like, and you're not doing it just now on TV. You're doing it every day. We literally talk like every day, and you've helped me so much. Yeah. And I don't think people know how great you have been as a voice on this issue. You wrote a beautiful Players Tribune piece called Dear America, but also going into the pandemic, coronavirus, you talked about how it really hit home, especially with your husband. You have two beautiful children. You know, you have a black boy that you are just as concerned for as much as your daughter. Can you take us a little bit behind the scenes, what you've shared with me on your experiences the last few months?
Well, I think it's challenging. I feel like us having to talk about race in 2020 with our children is almost, to me, the comparison of having to talk about sex like too early. It's like I really didn't want to have to introduce these things and take the blinders off of them being children, because my kids, you know, face it, I live in the suburbs. My kids have an opportunity to play with a little bit. We have some diversity, but maybe not a lot, not as much as I'd like. Hence why we go to church and we try to make sure they have a mix of all cultures. But, you know, the bottom line is our people are suffering, and I need for my children to recognize that they are a part of the blessed group who are well-educated, but they have to use their voices to help people who may not have the same access that they have. And so in that, I have to explain to my son, you can't do the same things that your friends are doing. You have to pay attention, but you also have to be knowledgeable and educated. We have to be better, whether it's education. Education is very important. What you do and how you carry yourself, your level of integrity, those things are very important. And if you are in a situation, to be compliant, because I'd rather you make it back home feeling like you got your feelings hurt than not being obedient and not making it back alive. And so I think some parts of that is how we comply with what the police are talking about. But the other part is where is our leadership in our country that says, be just as outraged as you are about law and order for our property, law and order for our cities and our libraries and our government buildings. Be just as outraged about black men and women being killed at a very high rate who have no weapons, who are not being a threat to the police, and laws are not being abided by. So are we following the Constitution? Because we talk about the Constitution when it's relevant, but we don't talk about the Constitution when it applies to lawlessness happening on the blue side. You know, so we could go round and round about what's going on in our country. But I just feel like we keep hearing from so many of the athletes, where are the white athletes that share locker rooms with these athletes? We would love, what is Tom Brady thinking? Where are all the other white athletes that we also love, that we love to watch and that we cheer for and wear their jerseys too? Like, we need more support from other people. What are the others doing?
Obviously,
so my conversation is always
Lisa is always preaching. This is my sister. She is so much to me. I cannot believe you surprised me. NECA surprised me, and it took me out, and this took me out again. But look, yesterday we said that we stand on the shoulders of those who come before us, and you have done so much for the game. So Lisa, thank you for just making me sweat. Thank you.
You're welcome. I appreciate you guys. I'm so happy that you have this platform to use your voice. Chanae probably hasn't told you guys, but we're coming out with our own podcast called Front and Center, coming September 15th, where we'll get a chance to be front and center and talk a little bit more about these issues and how it affects our communities and what we can do to be better and do better.
Looking forward to certainly hearing more from both of you. Honored to have you on the show today,
oh,
Lisa. We appreciate your time and helping you helping us pull off this surprise. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I love you, Chanae.
Love you, Lisa.
Keep being great, sweetheart.
I learned it from you.
basketball Hall of Famer and true legend Lisa Leslie with us here on Chené and Golic Jr. We're going to give Chené a minute to recover.
Why do you keep doing this?
Because that reaction makes it all worth it. Chené, we obviously enjoyed that and getting to do something there. We'll get more reaction from around the world of sports to everything that Lisa, Chené, and us have been discussing here next on Chené and Golic Jr.
Chené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Emotional words, an emotional response that we've seen all over sports. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Mike Golic Jr., and Chené Agumake. Chené, coming off the high of her mentor, Lisa Leslie, joining us here on the show. An exciting moment for everyone involved in here.
I'm trying to decide if we're still friends.
Oh, okay. See, she's mad because we had to lie to her in order to get
Look,
that to
this
happen,
is our first so. This is our first bump in our relationship. I told you I don't like surprises.
I know. The work marriage is going to be built on a strong foundation.
Of what? Everyone, you violated whatever that strong foundation was, but it was okay because it was amazing. So
exactly. So we're going to work through this. I am confident in this. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive
Insurance.
You're up
2-0. Oh, I got to even the score.
Exactly. You know what? Listen, I'm confident in you and everyone here in their ability to scheme and make this happen right now. And it was nice to have a little bit of levity because we know the last 24 hours have been a lot for everyone involved, for you, for your sisters in the W, and we've seen the reaction around sports from athletes who understand and are dealing with this emotionally because it is personal for so many people. And one of the most emotional responses that we had a chance to see was Dominic Smith of the New York Mets. Here he was breaking down in tears, talking about the events in the last, you know, recent days and how they've affected him.
I think the most difficult part is to see, like, people still don't care. And for this to just continuously happen, I mean, it just shows just the hate in people's heart. And, I mean that just sucks, you know? And being a black man in America, it's not easy. So, I mean, like I said, you know, I wasn't there today, but I'll bounce back. I'll be fine.
And, Chené, I think that's a part of it here. And I've always said that to be a black player in a league like Major League Baseball, in a league like the NHL, where there are, you know, less people around you that maybe understand as directly what you've gone through, like, that's got to be a tremendously lonely feeling at times. And you could see a lot of that emotion there, I think.
I mean, imagine Dominic right there saying, after all that he's going through, tears coming down his face, he's saying, I'll be fine, knowing that he's going to have to solve the problem himself to get himself fine. When he's not created a problem, period. It's the others that don't understand or care to even try to understand that puts us in this situation where what we just watched with him crying, that's me. That was me. That was me in Houston in quarantine. Houston, where George Floyd is a native of. Houston, where he went to the high school, Yates High School, where I was like, whoa, they're it. Basketball, they're putting up 160 on people. That's me too. That's my experience. That was me when I rediscovered Breonna Taylor. That is going to be me in a few days when all the adrenaline from working and help coordinating with the W slows down and I start being in touch with my feelings. I'm going to look like that. I am going to look like that. And there won't be cameras in my face. I'm not playing in the league. And I hope it's not on air, but that's going to be me at some point because we haven't built a society where someone else can help me through that, a situation that I haven't created. So that will be me until we have enough people intervene. People care enough to intervene.
And Lisa said it was when she was on with us before, white America's got to start caring about this problem. And maybe what we've seen, if there's anything encouraging, was seeing more white Americans picking up that mantle
that is the hope.
In the wake of what happened with
hope.
George Floyd and others. That is the hope. That's what we'll keep pressing for and trying for going forward. Stick with us. It's Chené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.